Thank you, Lydia, Sophia, Marianne, and Paul for that scripture reading. It is so good to gather together. Welcome visitors, welcome friends. Good morning, Linda. It's good to see you. I read an announcement this week that sales of the Bible have gone up 22% this past year. 22%. That's good news. That may mean that a lot of people are looking for hope and peace and joy and God. But that announcement is also bad news. It may mean that a lot of people right now are struggling with life right now. And I'm guessing I don't need to get into all the reasons for why we're anxious, depressed, discouraged, hopeless. I won't go on by the looks on your faces. In case you're wondering, if people are reading more books in general right now, actually for the same time period, the increase in book sales has only been 1% compared to 22% for the Bible. We are people looking for God, and God is right here. God's saying, I went through having siblings for you. I know what it's like to not be like anybody else, to be mistreated, to be ridiculed, to be doubted. How is it that the creator of the world knows personally what it's like to be Justin and Dawn and Justin and Justin and Lee and Audrey? Well, it's because God, Jesus, chose to become human. Think of all that that choice tells us about who God is. Oh, God is powerful. God is loving and compassionate and wise and faithful. And yet I and we doubt that God is able to provide for our needs right now. I don't mean that as shame. God moved Elizabeth from shame to favor. And God moved Mary from greatly troubled to peace and joy. I don't say it to trouble us. I believe God wants to grow our faith in God today. Because we have doubted God. Now, on my own, I have no capacity to convince you otherwise. If we want to believe that we are unloved or that we are not enough or that someone else or something else sparkles more than God, we can always find a way to believe it. But it's not up to me. I'm only the messenger. God is present, and God's desire is to grow the faith of each person here. And isn't that in comparison, isn't that relatively easy for God? God figured out how to take the molecular structure of God and place it as a tiny embryo inside a woman's body, something that people and culture despised, so that all people who long for God would be reconciled to God and to fulfill all that God promised long ago, including that the throne of God would be given to one whose kingdom of love and justice would never end. The faithfulness, power, and love of God for the best and the worst in each of us. God is that good and faithful and powerful. Jesus' birth and birth announcement both pour out the evidence, and yet for all the reasons we doubt. The analogy that comes to mind for me is that it's like we are walking along in a desert and the sand is kicking up and our legs are just staggering and stumbling along, aching. We just want to stop. We are so thirsty, and there are bright red fire hydrants all along the path. Plenty of water for everyone. And this is why God came, is to turn back what has become a desert to a garden. God's kingdom has been promised and will continue expanding with or without us. And yet God really wants each person here to be part of the journey. So let's turn to Mary. My challenge to us this week, for those who are longing for God, is to imitate Mary. Prior to my study this week, I thought of Mary very simplistically, that she was maybe naive and small, certainly lowly and meek, but I really didn't get it. I thought God worked through her as God works through anyone, but I learned this week that by God's grace, Mary brought some things to the table. She was courageous. We'll get back to that. And she was faithful. We'll get back to that too. Actually, they're intertwined together. If you think about it, it doesn't really make sense that Mary is transformed from being troubled to peaceful by the angel's words that she's going to have a son. Becoming pregnant for Mary meant more problems. Unlike Zechariah in the temple, she is from the backwaters of Nazareth that everyone thumbs down their noses at. She's pledged to be married, but she isn't yet, so she knows her community is going to gossip about her in intimate and unfair ways. And she now needs to have a conversation with Joseph that's going to be a little bit awkward. And how is he going to believe her? Mary was a lot more like Esther for such a time as this, for the people, than I realized. When the angel leaves Mary, who did Mary run to? Actually, to Zechariah, to Elizabeth, the same person that Zechariah ran to. Mary hurries to see Elizabeth. She doesn't go to Joseph, which is another evidence for the divine conception. The text says she hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. Any guesses how long it took her to get there? They lived almost 100 miles apart. That's like 10 trips from here to a bowl of good in Parkview. The place where Elizabeth lived was over 1,000 feet higher in elevation. For reference, Harrisonburg is about 300 feet higher in elevation than Broadway. Point being that for all the people who had to trek through the snow to school, and it was uphill both ways, Mary has us beat. She was courageous and she had faith in God's promises, God's faithfulness. Now, taking on that kind of difficult journey on her own while the neighbors were sitting on their front porch swings gossiping about her in her newly pregnant state, you may think that being newly pregnant would not have impacted her traveling. I disagree. I'll tell you a story about when I was newly pregnant. I didn't even know I was pregnant. Mike and I, as I said last week, struggled for almost 2 years to conceive. And during that time, we were part of a Sunday school class here with many people who were slightly younger than us. There was a book that we were studying together for 3 months. It was great fun. The leaders of the class decided to have a social event for us. They said, let's go on a hike together. We thought, great, we love hiking. Hiking's in my wheelhouse. I had grown up doing this. This is easy. But it turns out that a nurse friend of mine told me that being pregnant is like climbing up a mountain every day. And as it turns out, this steep hike, not the elevation that Mary had or the distance, was almost more than I could do. I remember being the very last one and getting so far behind everybody else as they stood around waiting for an awkwardly long time. I was embarrassed. And I was driven. I was in decent shape, and I knew from experience that you just tell your feet to move and they go. And this time, my sheer determination and my willpower somehow had little to no impact on my legs that were struggling to move at a normal pace. That night, we got home and discovered to our surprise that a baby was on the way, and we celebrated and finally understood why I could barely do the hike. And my prideful self considered emailing everybody in the Sunday school class, yes, to tell them the good news, but also to explain why I had been so slow. I'm glad you understand that with me. Mary not only made that trip when she was newly pregnant, she also made that trip home when she was 3 months pregnant. Mary was courageous, and Mary had faith, and through her, God continued the fulfillment of God's promises, the birth of a Savior, so that every person on the planet might experience God's faithfulness and love and peace and power. May God also grow our faith and courage in God through Jesus. Amen.